So we've got that. All right. Who remembers our theme song? What's our theme song? He's still working on me. Amen. All right. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Once you found your place, stand with me. We're going to read that. And we are going to sing He's Still Working on Me. Philippians 1, 6. Once you found your place, go ahead and stand. Amen. Philippians 1, 6. We're talking about standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about standing with the inheritance that we have received, just like Joshua inherited. And now we're talking about standing strong with confidence. First, it's with courage. We want to stand with the inheritance. Then with that inheritance, we want to stand strong, confidently, knowing God's working on us. And by the way, the things that we have been dealt with and things that are in our plate right now, God has given that to you to help mold you, make you, and shape you. Yes, even my boot that I've got rid of and my ankle. Amen. I am more thankful now for my Achilles and my ankle than I've ever been in my entire life. Amen. Because I don't have usage of them. Philippians 1:6. Read this with me together. This is where we left off last week. Here we go. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's why we say he's still working on me. Father, thank you so much that you are working on us. And Lord, help us to understand a little bit more of your word tonight. And Lord, the truth that you have for us as we look into the word, Lord, impart more wisdom to us, knowledge and understanding. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. All right. If you've got your He's Still Working on Me, pull that out. We're going to use that in just a moment. He's still working on me. All right. Serge, I know you weren't here last week, so you didn't get one. Yeah. How bad was it? Was it terrible? Amen. Amen. He's still working on us. Amen. All right. So we're talking about standing strong with courage in our inheritance. And we talked about the things that God gives us that we didn't ask for. It's not in our best interest all the time to deny them, reject them, or to give them back. We have to receive them. And when we receive them, God wants us to stand strong. He told Joshua over and over, be strong and of good courage. Why? He said, I've given you a task and responsibility. I want you to do that. And so when God gives us something and it's our inheritance, it's dropped in our lap, and then he wants us to be strong with that. The next phase to that then is we don't know how long it's going to be. When Joshua took the people of Israel, he didn't have the 40-year time frame that Moses had. Moses knew in 40 years, this crowd's going to die and we're going to be over there. When Joshua inherited all those people, God didn't give him a time frame. He didn't say in 40 years it's going to happen. He just said it's going to happen. It's yours. Now you got to go out there. And so when you and I get handed certain things, we may have to stand with it indefinitely, but we have to stand confidently. Why? Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it. God is using the inheritance that he gives you and I to work some things. Now, I didn't ask for this bum ankle. Some say you did because you went out and played. You know, you should know better. Amen. But I didn't. I didn't ask for this. But I got it just the same. And I'm sure you've got some aches and some pains that you didn't ask for either. Rheumatism and all these other things and knees and joints and arms. And Tony's looking like, I'm young. I don't have any of that. Amen. Praise God, you're young, sister. Wait till you hit 35. When I hit 35, I started to break up in all different sorts of pieces. And so we have to realize that God is still working on us and our inheritance is being used to make us stand stronger with courage. And we must realize this inheritance is being used to make us what we need to be. So we must be confident indefinitely. By the way, God is not done with us until it's over. When is it going to be over? Uh-huh. Do you think anybody that went to Las Vegas thought that it was going to be over that night? No. And neither do we know when it's going to be over. You know, Serge and I got on a plane and went to Missouri. I was looking at the wings and how that stuff was moving. Now, if something would have fell off of that wing, I'd have been saying, okay, Lord, I guess this is it. But nothing fell off the wing. But guess what? Other aircraft things fell off the wings. Praise God. You know, Serge rented a car and we drove down the road. I'm thinking, boy, look at the scenery. But look, there's some crazy drivers out here as well. We could get hit by a car and it could be over. We really don't know. But Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We do know that he's working on us, and we do know that he's going to finish it. We don't know when that is. He does. By the way, we don't know how long it will take us to be what we need to be, or when Jesus will come, whichever comes first. But we do know all of us have something that God has given us that we can't give back. Would you all agree with me? Amen. Amen. We all have something, even if it's just child rearing. It's been given to us and we can't give it back. Maybe it's our job. Maybe it's our boss. You say, I can quit, but you'll have to get another job and you'll have to inherit some more people that you're working with or working for. And so there's things that you and I have to deal with. Indefinitely means no certain in amount of time or length, or it's not precise. Confident means the feeling of being certain that something will happen or that something is true. So you and I are confident that something is true, that God is working in us, and that he is going to finish it one day. We just don't know what that day is. So our main encouragement then is being confident indefinitely, because it's so easy for you and I to give up and just throw in the towel and say, I'm through. I quit. I'm fed up. And although we may say that, amen, we know that we can't give up, amen. And faith or belief that one will act in a right or proper way is another definition of confidence. We all know that God's working on us. We just don't like the way he does it sometimes. But guess what? All of us like to be well, but we don't like the way the surgeon goes in and cuts, do we? Amen. But guess what? He knows what he's doing. Okay. He's still working on me. He's still working on you. And so we talked about those things last week as we dealt with the introduction, which brought us to our song. And I told you that as you think of Philippians 1:6, Serge, take one and pass them. Who needs one, by the way? Some folks need one. We talked about this. As you think about Philippians 1:6, think about this song. Because God is still working on you, and he's working on me. And I mentioned this, it's unfair for you to look at someone else and wonder what God's doing in their life, because he's supposed to be working on you. Our theme song, all right, we got that? We're going to do better than we did last week? We don't have any music, amen, it's a cappella. But I do have Julianne, who knows it. I know G2 knows it. Who else knows it? Brianna knows it, but she's not here. Fred knows it. Huh? He hadn't practiced this one, though. Amen. All right. So we're going to do, he is working on me. Amen. And think about the words that we're singing here. All right. Here we go. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. The mirror of his word, reflections that I see, make me wonder why he never gave up on me. But he loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make sun and stars, earth and Jupiter and Mars. A loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. All right. And so that ought to be our theme song as we go through here, because Philippians says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And notice it says, there really ought to be a sign on my heart. Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part. Are we guilty of judging people? Yes, we are. But God's not finished with them. Neither do we know what God's doing in their life. And it says, but I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. Now, some perfection may come soon. Some may come later, but it all will come ultimately. Second stanza, the mirror of his word, reflections that I see, make me wonder why he never gave up on me. That's why he's still working on me. As you look in the word of God, you have no time to be looking across at Mr. Surge or looking across at Mrs. Dawson. You got to look at what God's talking to you about. You don't read the Bible and say, well, yeah, so-and-so needs that. You know, no, God, the mirror is here. Amen. But he loves me as I am, helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay. When's the last time you saw the clay get off the spindle and tell the potter how to make himself? I don't like my handle like this. I want my handle like this. I don't want my handle like this. I want my handle. The clay has no voice at all. Amen. And so as God is working through you and I, he does this by giving us an inheritance. He gives us something. And we call it an inheritance because it's something that you didn't ask for. It just dropped down in your lap. And God uses that to work you and to work me. And he says, now, Joshua, you've got this inheritance. I want you to stand strong and I want you to have some courage. And now we come over to the New Testament with that inheritance. Paul says, now, with that, I want you to be confident indefinitely because you don't know how long it's going to be that God's working on you. By the way, we're not going to be perfect until we get to heaven. Amen. 1 John 3, we saw it last week, says this way. 1 John chapter 3, and which verse was that we looked at? Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we're often honest. Oftentimes we feel like David. We looked at that last week where David said in Psalm 13:1, how long? And he said it four times in two verses. How long, Lord? How long is this going to be? How long is this going to go on? And sometimes when you and I have something that's been dropped in our lap as an inheritance and God asks us to go through it, we spend more time thinking about how long than doing the task. Think about if Joshua would have said, well, Lord, how long am I going to have these people? How long is it going to be before they all conquer their lands? Lord, how long? God said, just do the job. Don't worry about it. And I think as Christians, sometimes we're guilty of thinking, how long am I going to be in this boot, than praising God and doing what God would have us do whilst we have it. Would somebody say, amen. We, it's true. We do. Because we don't want to be in that situation. But that's the very situation that God's using to make us what we need to be. Amen. How uncomfortable they may be. I was reading in one of my devotionals this week about patience in hard times. And notice what it says here. One of the most important traits of the Christian life is patience. We live in a hurry up world. It takes too long to cook a meal, so we have microwaves. It takes too long to go to the banks, so we have deposits with our phones. It takes too long to develop a skill, so we have apps to help us along the way. Amen. Hey, why get a concordance book when I got a concordance app? Hey, why get a Bible and spend time looking through the Bible when I can just punch it in? Come on now. Now, I love the convenience of it as well. I'm just saying it's a convenience that is going to make certain people lazy because what happens when the app goes down and you've got to find it on your own? Amen. He says down here, yet nothing of lasting value can ever be accomplished unless we are willing to invest the time, diligence, and effort to achieve it. And the lack of patience is one of the greatest enemies of doing things that matter. We just don't have patience. Think about it. We don't have patience with our family members who don't get saved. We don't have patience with our friends that don't want to get saved. We don't have patience with the person that comes in doesn't get saved. We just don't have the patience. And he says down here, patience is most put to the test when we encounter difficulties and tests that seem to have no end, indefinitely. And that's what we're talking about, confidence indefinitely. I've got to have confidence that God is working no matter how long it takes. He's working. He goes on to say this, that is when we have the greatest opportunity to demonstrate our faith in action as we faithfully work and wait to see what God will do indefinitely. Difficult times are also when we have opportunity to develop patience. It was to weary, persecuted believers that James wrote, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptations. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. So we get the inheritance that we didn't ask for. And God says, now I want you to stand strong with that. And I want you to have good courage in that. And I want you to deal with that inheritance. And then Paul says, now I want you to be confident that it's going to be an indefinite period. But God is working on you. And we sometimes can get impatient with God's time frame. Amen. When you look at this, it's really hard. Another devotion I read said this, which goes right along with this. While we accept that it takes time for children to mature, we may grow impatient with ourselves or fellow believers who show slow spiritual growth. Aren't you glad somebody was patient with you when you first got saved? No matter how long it took. I just talked to Pastor Bennett several hours ago. I'm so glad he was patient with me. Man, I'd show up and for soul winning and I mean, just wasn't ready. Trying to handle the word of God in front of people, wasn't ready. Trying to go out and do things, and wasn't ready. And he would just love up on me and say, brother, you know, we need a little bit more time with that. Or he'd put his arm around me. Brother, you know, no. We're going to get there eventually. We're going to get there. And he would smile at me and laugh with me. And he didn't give up on me. He didn't kick me out of the church. He continued to give me opportunities. He was patient with me. And I think, man, Lord, I got to get some of that stuff that he had. But it says, while we accept that it takes time for children to mature, we may grow impatient with ourselves or fellow believers who show slow spiritual growth. We rejoice when we see the fruit of the Spirit, but are disheartened when we observe a sinful choice. As we continue to pursue intimacy with Jesus ourselves, let's pray for each other and patiently come alongside those who love God, but who seem to struggle with spiritual growth, and encourage them as opposed to discouraging them in their growth. Amen. Because it's easy to do. Why? The same way he's working on me. Guess who is he working on? You. So he's working on us together. So who am I to get disgruntled at you knowing God's working on me the same way he's working on you? We looked at that last week. We have the ability to compare ourselves by ourselves. We looked at last week. And Paul said, that's not wise. That's not wise. And so I want us to consider something tonight. Last week, we considered point number one, which was confidence indefinitely in the beginning of the word, because Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we talked about how he started creation, started man, finished a woman. He started the flood. He finished the flood. He started the birth of Christ. He finished it, the death, the burial, the resurrection. He started and finished all those things. And so he is definitely going to start you. And he's going to finish you. He's going to start me. He's going to finish me. We're already started. Now we're in the process. And then point number two was this. Not only is God continuing, wants to be confident and definitely in the beginning of the work. He wants to be confident in the continuing of the work. Notice verse six again. So being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it. The emphasis on will perform it. Perform means to accomplish or finish or to fulfill further, or to completely execute something. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me in verse number 6. So we're confident in the beginning of the work, but we're confident in the continuing of the work. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident. Notice that. Knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are what? Absent from the Lord. And so we're absent from the Lord, then we know that he's working on us down here, okay? And so with that, we have confidence that God is continuing the work in us to completion. However, during life's journey, we're going to have three areas that we're going to struggle with. We're going to have life's battles that we're going to have to overcome. We're going to have life's bullies that we're going to have to overcome, people that just don't like us. And I hate to say it, we're going to have other believers that are against us. And we shouldn't even be fighting each other. But we're going to have to be confident indefinitely that God is not only working on them as bullies or believers, he's working on us as well. And by the way, he's working more so on us than he is on them. Why? It's always about what I need to do for God, not what they need to do for God. And one of the best places I knew to look at was David. David had his bullies. David had his battles, and David had other believers that were against him. Go over with me to Psalm 27 just for a moment. We're going to consider a few quick points, and then we're going to quit tonight. During this work, we're confident in the beginning of the work, but we're also confident in the continuing of the work. And as David is going through the work on his life, he has some words to say. By the way, David was getting prepped and primed to be the king of Israel. And as he was getting prepped and primed, he had his bullies, he had his battles, and he had his so-called believers against him. Psalm 27, and I think you and I can best identify with Psalm 27 when it comes to some things here. Notice how David was able to stand confidently and definitely. By the way, did David know when he was going to become king? No. Did David know that he was already in line to be king? Yes. So David then had to stand confidently, indefinitely, in waiting to become king. Had he already inherited it? Already inherited. He had already been dubbed the king, but he was not in the position of king. But he had been dubbed as king. Samuel anointed him as king. But guess what? Somebody was already filling that position. And so I can't be the king until that king is gone. So as he had this inheritance and he was to stand strong in that inheritance, now that he's confident indefinitely that I know I'm going to get there. But along the way, he had his battles, he had his bullies, and he had believers against him. And I want us to point out some things that happened here. Because notice what he says early on here in verse number one. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I? What's that word? Fear. Be afraid of. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Come down to verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. So David said, you know what? I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be in fear. I read this the devotion a while back. And let me read to you what it says about fear. And I found this to be true. Many times we view fear as caused by our circumstances. But in truth, fear is found in our hearts. You think about a child. A child is not afraid of things until they notice something about that with knowledge. And that knowledge is stored up in their heart for the next occasion. So fear is in our hearts. Give you a good example. Brother Serge and I went down there to Missouri. And Brother Serge said, weren't you afraid to stay in the church knowing the caskets were downstairs? And I said, no, I wasn't afraid as long as somebody else was staying with me. But as they all said bye-bye and left, I found myself there all by myself. And I thought somebody was staying here. They said, oh, that's after you leave, somebody's staying here. And I thought, and I found out that this is true. Fear was in my heart. And I thought, what if I push a button and a casket comes out and somebody forgot to take a corpse out because the people fled the place, right? They didn't take anything with them. It could have been a corpse left there. And so I said, I'm not going in the basement. That's where the caskets were at. And so fear can be in our hearts. Now, as long as somebody was standing there with me, I'm fearless. But just knowing that there was no one else there with me and the unknown of being downstairs in the basement with the caskets, I thought, this is not good. An overactive imagination can be the death of somebody. You know that? Granted, I lived to see the next day and the next day after that. And I'm sure they'll get those caskets out of there. And the caskets weren't there, I wouldn't have had a problem. But just the thought of having the caskets downstairs scared me. Many times we view fear as caused by circumstances, but in truth, fear is found in our hearts, not in what we see around us. Our confidence and lack of fear is not found in the knowledge that nothing will ever go wrong, but in the faith that God is in control. So guess what I played all night long? The Bible and sermons all night long on repeat. All my sermons was on repeat all night long because I didn't want my imagination to get the best of me. Now, I know there's no such things as ghosts, but I also know there are things as evil spirits because I've dealt with them before. And I know that for a fact. And I didn't want to get that evil spirit with my active imagination and have them have some things happen. Amen. And so I played the Bible all night and I slept peaceful. The next night I slept peaceful. It was good. But he makes a point here. Fear oftentimes is found in our hearts. David said, hey, look, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to fear. I've got some foes here. Verse 2 says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Notice verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. David said, you know what? I'm going to be confident indefinitely. I know I'm the next king. I know I'm in line. I know I've got some things going on. I know I've got some battles. Now, perhaps he's probably king right here already. That's not a problem. He still has the battles. He still has the bullies. And he still has some people against him. I want you to notice some things here just for the next 2-3 minutes. Amen. Then we're going to quit and we'll finish it up next week. Because I think David is probably one of the most real life examples of what he's going through and expressing himself as he's confidently standing for the Lord indefinitely. And notice what he says in verse number 1. And notice David's desire standing with confidence. Verse 4. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. I know I've got these battles. I know I've got these bullies. I know I've got these believers against me. One thing have I desired of the Lord. He said, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David said, whether on earth or whether in heaven, I want to see God. I want to talk with God. I want God with me through my circumstances. And that's why I can fear. And I tell you what, brothers and sisters, when we go through our inheritance and we have it and we don't know how long it's going to last, we've got to say, Lord, just let me be with you. I can, Lord, you and me is the majority. I can go through anything with you. David said, look, I got this host against me in verse number 3. He said, I've got these foes in verse 2. They're trying to dog me out and eat me up and make me stumble and fall. He said, but one thing that I have, my desire, standing with confidence indefinitely, I want to see God. I want to talk with God. I want God with me through my circumstances. And one of the things that you and I have to do, knowing that you've got some things that's been handed to you, and it's an inheritance, and you can't give it back, and you don't know how long it's going to be, say, Lord, take me through it. Lord, take me through it. Lord, I don't know how long this is going to last. Now, Tony's got some light at the end of her tunnel. She knows that her school will be done at the end of December. What is that?
Beginning of December.
Beginning of December, amen. She knows it'll be over. Shane, on the other hand, is back there saying, oh, man, I got a lot more time to go. But what happened? It wasn't always like that. She had to look ahead, and it's like, man, at one point it was a year. At one point it was 2 years. At one point it was 3 years. At one point it was 4 years. When will I be done? How long, Lord? How long? Now she's looking back confidently, indefinitely. Now it's about to come to a close. Praise God. Praise the Lord. What am I saying here? You and I can stand confidently, indefinitely, as God is continuing to work in our lives as we focus on the Lord. He says, my desire standing with confidence indefinitely is I want to see God. I want to talk with God. And then notice the second one. We'll quit with this one. Verse number 5. And David says, my distress standing with confidence indefinitely. He says, for in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. The secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. David said, God's always going to see me through. God's always. He said, yeah, I got these bullies. Yeah, I got these battles. Yeah, I got these believers against me. Yeah, I've got these enemies. Yeah, I got this host. Yeah, I got them coming against me. Yeah, I got them trying to make me fall. Yeah, I got them trying to eat up my flesh. Yeah, I got them against me. But he said, you know what? In my distress, I'm going to stand with confidence indefinitely because God's going to see me through. He's in time of trouble. God's going to hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. By the way, God is still working on us. I just read in my devotions today, Ephesians 5:20, which says giving thanks always for all things. Now, what does that mean? Giving thanks always for all things. Giving thanks always for all things. And would you know, Brother Neil, I had that devotion, sweet time with the Lord, fellowshipping with him. And then coffee spilled on the carpet. And I thought, coffee spilt is bad. Coffee spilt on the carpet is worse. Coffee spilt on the carpet when you just got it cleaned yesterday is terrible. And then the Lord said, and always giving thanks for all things. But Lord, I spent good money. Who gave you the money? I got to scrub this up. You got arms to scrub. I wanted to complain so bad, and I thought, he's still working on me, scrubbing the floor, make me what I ought to be. What good is coming out of this? It took him just a week. Why can't we clean this up fast? It seemed to be endless, and I don't like it. Oh, it was tough. And I just read it this morning. How quickly we forget that he's still working on us. Was that my inheritance for the day? Yes, it was. Did I pass the test? I flunked miserably. And God said, you better get that song and start singing it before tonight. And I thought, it's too convicting to look at right now. So I'm using the spilled coffee to work on you. Something so simple, I could have bought something to beat you across the head, but I gave you coffee on carpet that you spent money on yesterday. What's so hard about that? Because I don't like it. That's what's hard about it. And anything we don't like is hard. I just read it yesterday, just read it this morning, giving thanks all the way. And actually, Brother Neil, I got a message out. I said, well, I'm going to preach this. And God said, let's preach it to yourself first. Amen. And he said, I'm going to scrap that one for the future. That was not going to be preached for a while. Amen. I got to go back to training. Amen. What am I saying? David had his bullies. He had his battles. He had his believers. I had my battles. You've had your battles today. You've had your bullies. You had your believers. But he says, I want you to be confident in the beginning of the work. But now we're right in the middle of the work. And the work is continuing. And he said, I want you to be confident definitely. Continue to be confident. David says, my desire as I stand, my distress, you see it. I tell you, tomorrow's going to be a new day. Another battle. You may not have coffee spill. You may have a shirt rip. You may have lost some money. You may have something happen. But it's going to drop down in your lap as an inheritance. You can't give it back. And God is using it to confidently work on you indefinitely. You don't know how long it's going to last. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it. So we want to be confident indefinitely as it's beginning, as it's continuing. And we'll finish up with this next week because God is still working on us. And I hope you go home with that tune on your mind because I definitely need it. And you may need it tomorrow. And as something happens, just say, okay, Lord, you're using this to work on me. He's still working on me. Sing the song. You may not have it down pat, but as long as you got the tune. Do, 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 do. Amen. Whatever it is that happens, God is laying it down there to help you and to help me in our time to be more like Jesus Christ. And he's using it by the inheritance that he drops in our laps. He wants us to be strong, have courage. And then he wants us to have that confidence indefinitely with that inheritance that he drops in our laps. Father, thank you for what you've done in our lives, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to see that you're working on me, Lord, in some of the minuscule type ways. I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts, giving us what we need. Raise up our loved ones that are down, Katie and little Gabriel. And Lord, I thank you for the ministering spirit that you can have in Jenny's life during this time of hardship and trial. Lord, work in her midst as well. Help us to rally around her, provide the comfort that she needs. Lord, help us all to recognize you're still working on us. You're working on us one at a time. You're working on us by different means. And Lord, we need to be confident indefinitely as we continue standing strong with courage with the inheritance you've given us to make us more like Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now in Jesus' name. Brother Perkins.